everyone. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast, the latest in our series following Norwich City's progress through the EFL Championship. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined by sports desk Peter Raven once he stops tweeting away on his phone. Tweeting or texting?
Tweeting.
Important?
Always.
What did you just tweet?
I'm telling you.
You just tweeted it. Of course you can tell us.
No, it's a direct message.
Who to?
Ed Coleman.
Saying?
Not telling you.
I'm trying. He's busy sunning himself in golf somewhere, I think. Anyway, Paddy Davids here too, talking about Norwich City's goalless draw with Sheffield Wednesday as they return to Carrow Road action, the proper stuff anyway. And of course we've got Bristol City coming up tomorrow night, and we've just been back from the presser, haven't we, Pad? So we're up against it, and we've already done a video which people can watch on the Facebook page and where have you. But Saturday reflections first, shall we? What do you reckon, Pad? I was a bit frustrated. Were you?
In general, in life, mate, or just about Norwich.
You can open it up as much as you want.
I think that sums up. Everybody with any connection to Norwich, professional or personal, would have felt the same, I would imagine. Early reality check. Not good enough. Acknowledged by the manager that they weren't good enough. Acknowledged by certain fans as well in a vocal manner. They weren't good enough. But, you know, one game in 46, isn't it? So I think we might have a better idea. As Alex Neil says, 10 to 15 games in. But, after Blackburn, I think really setting aside the relative merits of both opponents, I think that was a bit of a shocker, really, in terms of the mood. And kind of puncturing a lot of the optimism from Blackburn. But yeah, let's just keep a sense of perspective. You know, they didn't play well. We all know that. We all know it shines a light on top end of the pitch. They know that inside the club. They're trying to work on that. So what more can you say? 4 points from two games, more than Newcastle or Villa. It's not a crisis, is it?
We'll probably get stuck into the frustrations and the booing that was around at full time, although you wouldn't actually have been there for that, would you, Pete?
No, I had to leave early to go and see something a bit more entertaining at Theatre Royal.
Which was?
The Limo Twins.
Who were very good by all accounts. Did you make a habit of leaving early?
No, it's only the second time.
Or ever?
Yeah.
Well done, that is impressive.
The other time was when we were losing to Ipswich and I didn't really want to see Andy Marshall celebrate.
Oh, yeah. So I do remember that well. Yeah, sadly. The frustration around the place, what you speak on behalf of the fans right now, what was it, what were they booing at?
I think it was just more the performance than anything else. It was just a fairly forgettable game. I guess the Blackburn result was always going to be a bit false, wasn't it, because they are going to be down the bottom. Sheffield Wednesday are going to be more likely to be the challenges that they're going to face, especially at home when teams come here and smother them like they do, and it's a case of breaking them down, and we just didn't, and it was just dull. I'm surprised the highlight reel lasted as long as it did.
Not seeing it. I like putting out the option that you could watch last week's highlights again if you wanted to save yourself the trouble. I got the sense that a lot of the frustration, that they were actually okay with the players, the fans. It was mostly this frustration that Norwich ended up without a recognised striker as they saw it on the pitch. I know Stephen Naismith was playing in that sort of number nine role for the last 16 minutes, but you know, they were chanting, "Where's the striker gone?" Everyone's kind of known they've needed these striker recruits and they've not come in, and we're sort of 2 weeks into the season as hard as everyone's working, Paddy. I mean, it's a difficult situation because it's not like they're not trying to do the business, as you said.
Well, I mean, ultimately a performance like that doesn't help the manager, doesn't help the mood, does it? Because it does amplify that Cameron Jerome, if he fires as they did the week before at Blackburn, not a problem, they'll score goals for fun. If he doesn't fire, but I just think that's a bit too simplistic, you know, just to hang it on the fact they didn't have another option to throw on up front in the manager's eyes. I mean, he makes the point, reiterated it again at Colney today, Monday afternoon. They lost it in midfield, and they did. Barry Bannon was head and shoulders the best midfield player on the park. He ran the show. The lad alongside him, Lee, far better than Johnny Howson, far better than Alex Tetty. You know, so in other words, they basically didn't get hold of it in midfield, which meant you could have 15 strikers up front, but if you've not got anybody to pass the ball to them, then you're going to struggle, aren't you? But, you know, as I say, it's too simplistic just to say if they'd have had Ross McCormack, for example, up front, and that game would have been different, because in all reality it probably wouldn't have, because the midfield as a unit and individually didn't function. And that for me is the bigger concern. You would hope between now and the end of the window they will address the striker issue and they will get bodies in the building. But in terms of style of play, if it's that easy to nullify Norwich, as albeit against a good side who know what they're doing and can implement a game plan of that nature, then it is going to be a very long season, because it seemed to me, stop Wes Hoolan, stop Stephen Naismith, and that's Norwich's job done. Need to have more than that.
Alec Neil addressed it pretty well, actually, the presser today, about how Norwich had kind of left the game a bit too expansive, the pitch was too big, and that meant that Hoolahan and Naismith are going to work better in tighter spaces. So I thought he explained it really well, but I guess explaining it and actually correcting that against Bristol City, they're two separate things, aren't they? And you, as you say, you're up against an opposition that is going to have its own ideals of how to stop Norwich playing. And that for me was the issue with, I had no problem with Yusuf Malumbu coming on. It was that even though Jerome wasn't playing that well, I wasn't necessarily sure that taking him off didn't leave Norwich short of options actually on the pitch for how they could try and pull and push Sheffield Wednesday around. But maybe that is quite simplistic of me, Pete.
But then that could be reflected in the fans' reaction. It's like, is taking off a striker, is that just signalling that you're settling for a draw, especially at home, or do you feel like you're under pressure from the opposition? I know it's quite a basic view, but you would hope there'd be at least one forward on at home when it's 0-0. But like you say, there's nothing against Malumbu, it's just an odd substitution.
I think at that point he could have taken off one of Naismith or Hoolahan and left Jerome on, and then they'd have still, because the problem is they were still lumping balls forward and they were still putting crosses in the box, and then they didn't have anything really they could get on the end of that. And I know they were then getting the ball down and working, trying to work in, as Alec Neil said today, that the best chance still came when Naismith playing up top, but they also put in a number of crosses they didn't really have anyone to aim at. I mean, these are all the finer details, I suppose. And I mean, it's interesting you mentioned about the midfield, Paddy. We've not seen a lot of Johnny Howson, have we, in the first couple of games? He's got the captain's armband on, because of course Russell Martin is not playing, before anyone gets too excited about it. And I don't know, I guess, are we...
I wouldn't read too much into that. I mean, you've got to remember he finished the season on crutches, and I'd imagine that had have impacted on his summer in terms of how far along the road he was in terms of fitness. I think there was another sort of setback, wasn't it? If I delve back into the summer, I don't think he played the first few games. Yeah, he didn't play the first few games, did he? So, you know, maybe there's an element he's playing catch up, but listen, quality, class act. So there's no fears on that score. But yeah, he's not exactly grabbing any headlines at the minute, but that'll come.
It will come, as are the injuries. They're coming. There's quite a few of them at the moment, aren't there? We could list them off. We've got, so ahead of Bristol City, we've got John Ruddy, groin, Martin Olsen, hamstring. I'm guessing we're not going to see those for a fortnight, but you know, it might be longer. They don't exactly know the damage yet, I believe was the verdict this afternoon. Jacob Murphy, hamstring. He's doubtful for the moment. Graham Dorans is still working his way back from a groin injury. Paddy's nodding, but he's not quite there yet. Alex Pritchard's got a side stomach pull,
muscular
pain, and I'm sure I've missed someone somewhere along the line as well.
Matt Jarvis
is out for the long term, so there's quite a few injuries there, and they're quite, you know, they're key players, as you said this afternoon, players who would be well involved in the first team mix for the City boss.
Yeah, I mean, people might think that's an excuse, but I think the reality is, if you've got six, not established in Jacob Murphy's case, but six guys who would be in and around it, that would test any squad in that division. So, you know, it is a factor. It was a factor during the game Saturday, because I'm sure, talking about, you know, how substitutions and how he could change it, but the reality was two of his three substitutions were enforced because he had two injuries in his defence. So, you know, these are all mitigating factors, but it is a bit of a jolter when you thought they had this wonderful depth to the squad. It might not quite be the case, but albeit that is, for two games into the season, ridiculous to have six on the treatment table. What can you do? That's the way it is. You know, bad run of luck. You hope they get them out of the way this end of the season rather than having six out for the running. But it doesn't help with that early kind of momentum, really, which you want to build, particularly with a derby on the horizon as well.
Yes, the derby, Pete, but we won't talk about that yet. We might be able to get in a podcast, another one this week, possibly, if we push it. Okay, so 2 points. Josh Murphy came on Saturday, and of course his brother is out injured. What'd you make of Josh?
Well, for the brief moment that I saw it,
what minute did you leave, Pete? 12th minute.
I heard a few moans after the game that I haven't seen the highlight reel. He was a couple of chances he could have put away, so, but it's not the lad's fault. It's his brother started well, so hopefully he will as well. And he had a decent pre-season, didn't he? So I think it'll all come good for him.
I just think confidence-wise, maybe he's not quite at the level Jacob was, but then it was probably easier for Jacob at Blackburn to make an impact. Michael McGovern's the other one. Did you see him play?
Pulled off a decent save.
But he kind of parried it. Yeah, he didn't parry it
from the Barkley, then having seen it again, it wasn't as good as it was. But yeah, you could see Ruddy was struggling fairly early on in the first half. He's holding his groin a lot, so... And the boy's come here saying he wants to play, so had a decent World Cup, Euros. Yes. Yeah, it's, you'd want your sort of more established senior players, especially away at Ipswich. See how he does tomorrow night.
It's gonna be lively, isn't it, for Michael? It's got an ideal chance. You come into a club, you've got the number one there in your way. He's not there anymore, so you know it's probably what he would have, not the way he would have hoped for it, but what he would have hoped for when Michael arrived here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Alex Neil knows him well. He's got no qualms about his ability. What I would say is, which can't be up for debate going into this Sunday's cauldron with a lowercase c, is that.
How dare you?
His temperament can't be in doubt, because if you can go and play on a massive stage like the Euros against massive countries like Germany and cover yourself in glory, then that doesn't bother me in the slightest. And it might be good in this sense that he's got a game, as it will be a game and a half to bed in before the derby. So, yeah, no, I think that should... Without wanting to jinx the lad, that shouldn't, I don't think, cause Norwich too much disruption, really, Ruddy out McGovern in.
Okay, we'll take a break, but before we do that, let's hear from Alec Neil and Ivo Pinto. Pitch War!
With the quality that we have, playing in our stadium in front of our supporters, and not forgetting the last game we played, the first game in this championship, I think we all expected to win, but football is like this. I think they play very good as well. You know, it was a tough match for us. Our mentality is to win every game. It's to fight for the title and to go again to the Premier League. So we understand them, and as well the team in the end was frustrated as well. We wanted to win the game. We tried to win the game and we couldn't. So.
Ivo, can I ask a couple more? I mean, how tough a decision was it to stay? Did you have a decision to make in the summer to stay for the championship?
I signed with Norwich. My dream came true. I wanted to play in Premier League. Obviously, in the end, was not what I expected, because we get relegated. But I never thought leaving Norwich. I think. Speaking about myself, I think I owe the club. Mm. I think my thoughts were to stay here and help the club to get back to the Premier League. It's what I will try to do, and it's what I'm focused now.
I don't think we played as well as we would have liked. I think certainly second half, I think our retention of the ball was normally a lot better than that, and I think that let us down. And it then meant that we didn't have possession often enough to really create as many chances as we'd liked. I think Blackburn's one extreme, and I think today might have been sort of somewhat another extreme for us, because our retention of the ball is normally a lot better than that. And I think because Sheffield Wednesday do go direct, I thought we didn't get enough passes in the middle of the park to allow our fullbacks to work up the pitch. I think in this first half, both teams had wee spells with allowed sort of possession of the ball and their fullbacks worked in, and I think that's where our width comes from, you know. And I think because they kept them pinned back, because we didn't keep the ball often enough, it then became very narrow and tight at the top end, and our retention of the ball when it went forward wasn't good enough.
Okay, so the burning issue, of course, really on Saturday was the big screen, Pete.
I'll take your word. Was that the most exciting thing about the game? Well, where I sit, I've got a post in the way, so I can see either side of it, and then when it rotates to portrait. I can see even less.
Just get this right.
Probably better for you boys, although you've got screens anyway.
We have, and the pole is kind of slightly in the way. But let's just get this right. It's sat there like a big TV landscape. And then if it wants to, it rotates. So it's portrait for when the teams are announced.
It's world first as well. I was hoping it would rotate around the ground.
Well, to be honest, I thought it did. Yeah, maybe yeah, it will maybe when there's goal replays.
It's another trick to come in, or they hadn't turned that switch on.
Can't give it all away at the first appearance.
No, it's a welcome addition. People have been banging on about it for God knows how long. And if you're still in the hotel, you can still see the game in certain rooms. So everyone's happy. I'd rather have more seats in there, but that's not going to happen.
Well, you know, we'll see how the screen lights up the game with the floodlights on an evening.
What happens if somebody boots a ball at it?
Well, hey, sweepstake. Who hits it first? I think Nathan Redmond would have been a good bet for that. I imagine it starts spinning on the pole. That's what I'm hoping, if you hit it right in the top corner. Anyway, Bristol City, they've won two from two, Pad. I think they've done that against two newly promoted sides, or certainly... Burton and Wigan, yes it was, yeah. So two newly promoted sides, both late games, but they've got two informed strikers, if only Norwich could say that, and they've got a bit about them. Gary O'Neill's coming back, Corey Smith might be fit, although he's been out for a while, so I don't necessarily think we'll see him on a Carrow Road return, but it's going to be an interesting one, this.
Yeah, no, one very confident team, and one maybe not as confident as they were after Blackburn, but I don't particularly have any fears about this game. I think they'll roll them over.
You are very confident ahead of this game. I like it.
Well, you know, I don't want to point out, but I did say Sheffield Wednesday would go up automatically. So at the start of the season, not after the 90 minutes on Saturday. But conversely, I don't see Bristol City being anywhere near it by the end. But yeah, you know, this certainly concerns me. They've got a young lad out of Chelsea who scored 4 goals in 3 games. So he's going to be full of confidence. But as a collective, I can't see them getting to this performance level of a Sheffield Wednesday. So, and you would hope, you know, having listened to Alex Neil today, that they'll have had a pretty sore 48 hours or so since Saturday, because it wasn't good enough. Well below what's expected, well below what they would have expected themselves. Let's see a reaction Tuesday night.
Aaron Wilbraham's around as well, Pete. Reunions galore ish.
Yeah, everywhere. Gary Neil was, I guess, he was a bit of a loss, wasn't he? Decent Championship midfielder. But my second team's Bristol Rovers, so yeah, we'll do him.
Your second team? Bristol Rovers?
Yeah.
Where's that come from, sir?
University.
Oh, right, okay.
Just round the corner. The gas.
I know this because I've checked this morning, bizarrely. Who their famous fans include? John Cleese. Pete Raven, obviously. And Jenson Button.
Wow. There you go. I assume that.
Bristol Rovers famous fans.
I was on their wiki page, to be brutally honest. I was looking at when they were formed for the stats we do, basically.
So this is Bristol City famous fans?
Bristol City, yeah.
Bristol City famous fans.
Ah, right.
That's what you said.
No, Bristol Rovers.
Oh, Bristol Rovers. Yeah. Just delete this last 2 minutes.
It's going well.
They might all turn up at Carrow Road. You don't know. Jenson Button, he's not got anything on at the moment, and he's in the closed season.
John
Formula
Cleese
One
might be in the director's box with other lovies,
right? Like Ed Balls might have some Strictly Come Dancing tips. You never know. Anyway, but this has taken a random turn. So it will be very interesting to see how it pans out on Tuesday night. Anything else we're missing? We've got no transfer news to bring you. Sorry, we are trying. We do keep asking the questions, but if they don't do the business.
I guess we'll see if Wes can do 2 games in a week. I wonder if they rest him ahead of the derby, because he played the full 90, didn't he?
Well, the question was put to Alec, wasn't it?
Boy, yours truly, yeah. He'll definitely play, I think, tomorrow night. He more or less made the point that that's kind of an issue over a longer period of games, over the course of a season. So he thinks start of the season, you play your best players. So, yeah, I think we'll be seeing him tomorrow night and Sunday, but not against my beloved in the cup, so he'll be getting rested. So that's Norwich getting knocked out.
Madison instead.
Yeah.
How excited are you about that EFL Cup game against your hugely. Boyhood club, Pad?
Not hugely, mate. We know the outcome, so you know. Norwich in the next round, where they'll then jack it off against I don't know, Accrington Stanley or something like that. Move on. It's all about the league.
and the league. Concentrate on the league. Well, we'll do that. Should we have another podcast after Bristol City?
Go on then.
We'll try. Let's not make any promises.
We'll stay for the full game this time.
You sure? Don't have to. Yeah? What minute do you reckon you might, you know, you'll be there?
I'll stay till the end.
You sure?
Look over, I'll wave at you.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. If anyone sees Peter Raven leaving early, trip him up. In a nice way, obviously. Make sure he has a soft landing. All the usual stuff, pinken.com. Anything you want to flag up, Pete? I like asking you this. No, what this week?
We've still got the extra coverage this season, all the straight after the game, the ratings.
Most of it.
Man of the match. The image gallery, loads of photos. Leave us a message if you've got Audio Boom app. Just go to the story, hit record, let us know what you think of the game, and we'll play it on here.
Exactly, yeah, that's true. Just have a rant, or you can be happy and have a go. No one's tried it yet, have they? But you know, if you get sick of our voices, if you don't, that's fine, no problem at all. And of course, Wednesday night, Pinken Show will be on Mustard TV, and we'll start getting links up on the Pinken website as well once we get our heads around all that. And have a watch of that. We'll have the reaction from Tuesday night's game. But thanks, gents. Thanks all for listening. And fingers crossed, I've already had someone call Tuesday night's game massive, and it's the third game of the season. So here's to a massive game on Tuesday night. Enjoy. Bye for now.